right. I am joined by Kaylin. How are you?
I'm okay. It's been a day. How are you doing?
I'm well, thanks. Please introduce yourself and what you do.
My name is Kaylin Barnes. I do many things, first of all. So I am a social entrepreneur. I am a personal trainer. I am anything you can practically think of. I make infused eyes. I do business development. I do grant writing. All of the above right now.
Okay. I think from a bio, there is several things that you're doing. Is it too soon to be calling you a powerhouse?
Wait a second. Let's wait till I make my first 100 million, and we can call it that.
Okay. I think maybe to start, let's start with your books. I think that would be a nice spot to sort of spill over to the other stuff that you're working on. You're an author, right? And I think you mentioned that you wrote your first book
when I was 18 years.
And please take me through your journey. What inspired you to start writing your book?
That journey actually started in high school. I hated fitness, first of all. I couldn't stand fitness. And then in high school, my parents were in a very abusive relationship and I needed something to cope. Something healthy, something that wasn't drugs, it wasn't alcohol, it was fitness. Fitness was a way to get high without getting high, if you know what I mean. Yeah, it was a way to let out sweat, let out frustration, all of those things. And so we moved to New Zealand after matric, and I started studying personal training. I wasn't sure what else to study. I studied advanced personal training with Fit College in New Zealand, and that was that. And I was like, wow, I love fitness, but I want to broadcast fitness. I want to share it. I want to share it with other people, with like-minded individuals, to help them cope, to have their own coping mechanism. And so I wrote my first book called Fiercely Feminine, because that is what I believed myself to be, fiercely feminine at the time. And I was 18. And then I wrote my first book, illustrated it. I still remember putting my phone, then putting a timer on my phone and be like running to my phone. And you come back and you pose and you run again. So you didn't have photographers. You didn't have such money. You just, you run then, you come back and you edit on your laptop. And that was it.
So
and then I sold my first book. And that was how my first business started.
Nice. How was the journey? What process did you sort of follow in writing the book? And because I've been writing a book for a young age, you sort of a novice in it, and you finding your way might be a bit difficult. Because do you have mentors? What was the process?
I had no mentors. I had myself. Okay. I had myself, I had my imagination, and I had my willpower. And I was just like, I'm gonna do whatever I have to do.
Okay.
I'll put it together. We've written essays in school. I'm not new at writing essays or paragraphs or whatever. Let me just do it. Let me do it for something that I enjoy. I studied fitness. I know fitness to a degree, of course. And so that's what I did.
Okay.
Started writing, started putting pictures together, because that's how I wanted the book to look in my mind. That's all I did.
And then I think you did mention the how tedious it sounded, like going up and down.
Yes, so you put your timer on like 10 seconds. You're like, I've got 10 seconds to hold the plank.
Wasn't enough.
Sometimes it was. And so, with the handstands, jeez, I can't hold the handstand for 10 seconds. It was many takes, yeah.
I think it makes sense to say that probably that was your first love. Am I correct in assuming that?
My first love was dogs, probably. Dogs and chocolate cake. Mm-hmm. But fitness was my first passion.
Passion, okay. Yes. Okay. And then you are writing your second book at the moment.
No, I'm on my fourth book.
Is it your fourth book?
My fourth book. I've only sent you a copy of my first and my first workout challenge.
Okay, I think you sent me two. So
of my first book and my first workout challenge.
Oh, yeah. I see. So which are the two books in the middle would you
So work on? I wrote Dumbbell Goddess. So it focused just on dumbbells, hypertrophy training, linear training, all of those things are in there. Mm-hmm. But that's all at home, because I wanted to be minimalist training. Mm-hmm. Like you just need a heavy water bottle like this. Or you need a dumbbell and you need to be able to do fitness. You can't go to the gym. We can't afford a gym.
Sure.
We need to be realistic. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. And the second one was Founders Fitness. Third one, sorry, is Founders Fitness.
It's
Founders Fitness.
Founders Fitness.
So I have a program with Strengthener at Womb Hub that I run called Founders Fitness. So we basically target female founders or female business owners. They are busy. They don't have time to train, but they need to train. The benefits of training are incredible.
Sure.
They can't be missing out on it. So we're trying to make it as accessible as possible, 15 minutes a day if they must, different body parts, minimal equipment, anywhere, anytime. Mm. And so the findings of that is in Founders Fitness. Sure. What I found that it helps female entrepreneurs become more innovative. That book is a little bit more wordy, less illustrations, less pictures and abs and things like that.
Mm. So you're sort of like teaching and
we're not just teaching them how to be bendy, flexible, sure. We're teaching them the importance behind it.
Yeah. Yes. I think before we jump into the next topic is, you did mention that you were sort of trying to cope with managing your family situation. Did writing help? And did going to the gym help? And also the fruits of doing fitness did also like yield positive feedback from your side?
So after I wrote my first book in New Zealand, my parents separated. They got a divorce. But okay, they separated. They came back to South Africa a few years later and they got a divorce. During that time, I moved to Australia. I started my own business. I was like, I need money. I need a hustle. My father's not going to pay for my studies. My mom's not going to pay for my studies. My father left my mom in over R1 million worth of debt. I don't even know how that happened. He was not paying child support. It was crazy. I was like, this cannot happen. I need to support myself. I need to study. I want a doctorate. That's how I'm currently my master's. Like, I need a hustle.
Sure.
That's what we did. So I started my business and I was like, I miss home. Mm. And I moved to South Africa. My business, it tumbled. It didn't work out. I didn't understand the South African market. It was January 2020. Lockdown happened probably, late March, early April. And I had to get another job. And then I became a financial business analyst.
Sure.
But the results it yielded in terms of starting my businesses now, the lessons learned, incredible.
Sure.
You don't get a better teacher than failing.
Sure, sure. It sounded like a really hectic thing. I think the idea of just moving from
country to country, hopping.
And going back.
I actually missed it. That's how I started more businesses. I started Strength and Hope. So my first business was called Fit K Store.
Okay.
And we did a lot of physiotherapy equipment, things like that, and accessories and crazy stuff.
Sure.
But I miss traveling. I miss hopping from one place to another. I grew up, the longest area I've lived in was probably like 3 years.
Okay.
That's the longest I've lived in an area. Sure. So for me, moving is the norm. So now that I've been stagnant for 4 years, I'm like, oh, something is wrong.
Sure.
I need to move. I'm getting jittery now. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to ask the question.
Yes.
So where are you planning on moving?
I'm not sure, but there are openings in Amsterdam. There's businesses there. There's a lot of investors in Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know yet. Wherever the world takes me, that's where I'm going to go. I'm not going to be stagnant. I want to travel. I love it. I love going out, meeting new people, new business, new culture, learning new training techniques that suits different demographics, things like that.
And I just want to a small deep dive, mm-hmm. then we can get into other stuff. Just a deep dive in terms of the business models that you were using into trying to sell the books and the businesses. Yeah. And so at least you can just encourage someone out there, as young as you are, but you are making big moves. What kind of models and what were you doing to sort of to see your business like giving out great turnout?
So for my first business, it was word of mouth.
Okay.
But also it kind of helped that I had abs. Back then it helped that I had abs.
Oh, okay.
Crazy flexible, like that kind of thing. So it was quick. You just put yourself on social media doing something crazy and people are like, oh, who are you? And you get a few followers and then you do some paid promotion. But now I don't do socials. I'm like, okay, let's not do that. There's OnlyFans stuff now. No, thank you. Mm-hmm. We don't want to do socials. We avoid it now. So for now, we're going to do a lot of paid promotions.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're getting. And crowdfunding. That's where we're going to make our money.
Okay.
Not going to make our money through basically one-to-one sales of social. It's not my model.
So that was the model that you were using throughout. Great.
That was the model.
And then how is it? How do you sort of deal with it sort of in a day-to-day? How does that look?
Day-to-day, I just apply for funding for programs. That's what I do now. I apply for funding, grant funding, whatever I can.
Mm-hmm.
You apply funding for projects or programs. There is a ton of money out there.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to find it. You need to know where to find it, how to write it, how to win it.
Okay.
And so that is what I've been doing now and it's been working.
Mm-hmm. So let's get into the business side. You said that you run businesses, not a business.
So Autarky Analytics is my holding company.
Okay.
That manages 12 other businesses.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. And then just give us a deep dive in terms of what are the services that you have and what you do. So at least the right eyes are looking and watching. So yes. I believe that you will probably bring some clients over. And please just explain what you guys do.
Okay. My favorite so far is Strengthener. Strengthener is very deep within me. It's the second part of Fit Care Store, but the better part, the one where the lessons are in. So we offer a lot of personal training, especially tailored to women for their hormones. So when you go to the gym, you're just training hard all the time. You can't do that. Your hormones are fluctuating. You need to balance it. You need to balance it with your training. So the training that we give them complements where they are hormonally throughout their menstrual cycle. Then we've got Brainwell. That's the edtech company. So we offer intervention lessons. So at school, my mom is also a teacher. She currently has, 48, 49 students in a class?
Sure.
That is too many students for one teacher.
Yeah.
And obviously you're going to miss out. Some students are going to miss out on some lesson that they need to learn. And there are going to be so many learning gaps. So in order to kind of bridge those learning gaps, we have intervention learning. That's Brainwell. Then we have ISO. So I don't like normal ice. I like infused ice. I like to put a little lemon in there, a little bit of mint in there, a few herbs when I'm cooking pasta, especially a little rosemary, things like that. That's ISO. We make infused ice. I got Royal Wedgie.
Infused ice.
Yes. So ice with lemon in or with herbs or mint or whatever you can want in there.
Okay.
Even add vodka in there, but that doesn't work too well. But yeah, it needs a liquor license. Let's open that up.
Sure.
We've got Royal Wedgie. Mm-hmm. So Royal Wedgie, we basically making underwear, but that's really sexy for women.
Sure.
But you can still use it on your menstrual cycle. You don't have to worry about using pads. The underwear is absorbent, things like that. I really want women to feel empowered in their underwear, so to speak. You know, you feel good, you go to the boardroom, you feel good. You don't have to worry about, this pad is crunchy. No, panty absorbs everything.
Sure.
But it still looks good. We have Foodie Fur Baby. So Foodie Fur Baby is an organic dog food company. So we'll make dog food for other people's fur babies.
Okay.
So if they want something that's not kibble, that's not heavily manufactured, fresh beef, fresh liver, fresh rice included in there.
Mm.
That is Foodie Fur Baby. You want to go through all the companies?
Let's go.
Hopefully I remember all of them. Where are we now?
After food.
Date Me Dreamy. So Date Me Dreamy is basically...
Date me?
Dreamy.
Dreamy. What does that mean?
So we plan romance. It's a romance planner. So a lot of people, when updated, this is from where it comes from, they don't know what your love language is. They're just missing the ball completely. Mm. They're not putting in effort. Like, we don't want expensive dates. We want thoughtful dates, or we want a thoughtful gift. If your love language is gift giving, make it thoughtful. It doesn't need to be expensive. It needs to be thoughtful.
Sure.
So we make it easy for you. We just plan it for you. Just tell us what that person likes, and we just do everything for you for a fee.
Wow. I think I've got some few people that I know who are similar.
So they don't mess up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially people go on dating apps. There's so many people on dating apps, but they're missing the ball completely.
Sure.
They're not planning the proper date. They're not making the right first impression.
Sure.
That's Date Me Dreamy. We want them to make the right first impression.
Great. It really sounds great. And maybe it's because I just love that as well. It sounds interesting as well. I think I have so many questions, but...
Ask the questions. We can get to the rest later.
I think it would be better if you just continue explaining the rest of the companies, then we can actually just try to, if we can, it feels like this, we are bound to have a part two of this, but I think maybe you can just continue from there and then I'll just ask my questions.
Then we've got Lean and Lins.
Okay.
So we do catering with authentic coffee. So we make the coffee ourselves. There are mornings that I've woken up to come and grind coffee and make a noise in my apartment, but it's crazy, but that's what we do. So we go to catering and we do the authentic Turkish coffee, is whatever they really want in terms of coffee. My mom loves baking and cooking. If you've tasted our concoctions... Oh, Lord, our concoctions.
Okay.
The stuff that we can cook up for you, like a steak salad, but it's literally just different kinds of steak. Or we call it a cake salad, and you've got different cuts of cake, and you mix it in little like chocolate balls, and you add it in. Yeah, we are in crazy industries right now.
Okay. That was fantastic. Is there another one?
There is more. I'm probably forgetting them because my mind has just been on Strengthener.
Okay, I understand. I think maybe I'll try to make this interview just a bit generic. and we'll have a nice deep dive into almost all these companies and what they actually do. I know you explained them, but how do you manage all this and still be
a holding company? That's the first option. Sure. Holding company or talk analytics manages everything from finances. We have one accountant that manages everything for the group.
Mm.
It's as simple as that. I wanted multiple companies. Sure. I didn't want one company. I knew that when I was going to go back into business, I can't have one business and another business and a whole team for this. No, I want one team to work across everything.
And was this hunger coming all the way from you saying that you want to start making money yourself and pushing for yourself?
No, I wouldn't say that. That wasn't a very confident no, but no.
Okay.
When I worked as a financial business analyst, I was so happy. I worked there for 3 years, but then I started getting bored and I started automating my work. So what started from a 16-hour day ended up just being 5 minutes of watching the screen because I automated my work that well.
And then how?
I got bored and I was like, I need
to automate your work.
Coding. You code on SQL, you go mad. You code for Tableau, you go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You're using a lot of programming software and you just code like mad. You code like crazy, you run your code and you just sit there all day and you watch it.
Sure.
You don't do anything.
And then how was that the process like?
To start coding was tough.
Mm.
I don't come from a coding background. I come from either a fitness or business background, whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
I studied finance, I studied accounting, marketing, business administration. I did not study coding or computer science or information technology or anything really technology related in that sense. So to teach myself was YouTube or courses, or at the time my fiance who was also into coding.
Mm.
You kind of take a little bit from here, you learn from everywhere.
Sure.
And that's what I did and it worked. And I was like, okay, just leave it. Don't mess with it. It's working.
Sure. And you end up automating your work. So that means obviously it allows you to start thinking of
new allowed ideas me to be different. Very bored.
It helped you too?
It allowed me to be very bored.
Okay.
I became so bored with life after that to the point where I was like, I need a new career.
Sure.
I need something I can learn.
Sure.
That's when I made the mistake.
Sure.
And I went into business development and I learned grant writing and I learned how to make partnerships with people, which is kind of good. It's a good skill to have in business, of course. I hated the company. And so I was like, okay, I need to get out of this company, but I need to get out fast.
Mm.
12 businesses, 13 businesses, that was the option.
Okay. I'm going to ask this question as sort of like a conclusion, but like I said, that we're going to have another one. What is the next thing? What does the future look like for you?
$100 million in annual revenue for each company with the first 100 floor building in Cape Town, each floor having its own business.
Thank you very much, Kaylin, for coming through. And I'm just sort of cutting it short, but I feel like we'll just have another conversation and sort of get into each other's world and understand what drives.
What drives me is knowing that by the time I'm 35, I'll be able to retire, that I would maybe be able to start a family if I decide that I don't want to be not stable anymore. What also drives me is the fact that I know my dog will be happy.
Yeah.
My dog.
Okay.
He is my absolute world, but also that my mom wouldn't have to work anymore.
Mm.
That she would be able to do whatever she wants. Like, I remember the first time I brought in my first paycheck and I was like, Mommy, we're going for massages. And the look on her face, I want my mom to be able to retire comfortably. That is what drives me. To know that my family will be fine.
There's no doubt that that's going to happen. I will say God or the universe is going to make sure that that happens. And it's sort of the message that we embody as Stagger Podcast as well, that we're rooting for you and we're saying all the best in your journey. And I think people are going to love your story as well. And I hope they find expression in it. And all the best.
Thank you.
Cheers. Cheers, everybody.